Will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18. With the Lord's help, I'll speak to you this morning from verse 14. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Here we read the Lord speaking words to his disciples, and we trust these words remain faithful to the end of time, encompassing his blood-brought church from Adam to the end of time. This watchful care, the Lord's preserving mercies, providentially for his people, meeting their every need, but more so spiritually. This seeking and saving those which are lost. We have this beautiful illustration. The Lord, in a simple way, makes known to his disciples the meaning of his love, his watchful care over them. He likens it to a man having 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray. Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? You see, friends, we're all born dead in trespasses and in sins. The Lord's people and the world alike. There's no difference outwardly, and inwardly they feel no different. Until that appointed time when the Lord meets with them and deals with them, they portray no sign of being his people. They feel in their hearts to be not his people. Their starting point, their default position is one of, we will not have this man to reign over us. But they're like his dear people, they're like this 100 sheep. They were with him in eternity past. Their souls were precious. And it are precious, and will ever be precious, though through their birth they know it not. What a mystery. They lay, as the hymn writer says in, is it the 10th hymn in our hymn book? They lay on his breast, loved with an everlasting love. They were laying in the breast of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But, you see, there was this birth in Adam, and through their birth, they've all fallen away as Adam. They've all fallen away. They've all departed. Through their birth, they're all prodigals. All of the Lord's people, every one of them, born prodigals. They've having ever been with the Father, through their birth, they're born in dead in trespasses and in sins, and born in this evil world. And here we find ourselves, beloved friends. What a mercy then. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. What a mercy. Do you feel you're one of his this morning? Have you had a hope in former days that you are and now you're doubting? Well, beloved friends, you're not saved on your feelings. You're saved in the knowledge of Him, the knowledge that He has of you. The foundation of God, standing sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And you, poor sinner, you may doubt it. You may not feel it all the time. Your heart may be up and down. Your pathway may be one strewn with crosses and feelings that the Lord has gone out against you. But the Lord knoweth them that are His. And He will not leave any to sink at last. Any of His dear people. Then may we each prove in the fullness of our lives to be found in this number, in this 100. You see, He had 90 and 9. Is that not enough, Lord? But there's one missing. Yeah, but there's 90 and 9. Yes, but there's one missing. There's one that's loved with an everlasting love. There's one that's away on the hilltops. There's one that's fallen into a ditch. There's one that's in a far-off country. There's one that's needy, poor. It can barely let out a bleat. It's so cast down. It's so oppressed. But the Lord knows. Though that poor lamb is in the darkest of ditches, and though it's the darkest hour, though it's the fourth watch of the night, here's that all-seeing eye. Beloved friends, he knows when His people are in need. He knows when His people have a want, have a need. He's ever mindful of them. And, friends, the 90 and 9, it's not enough. It's not enough. If there's 100 in eternity past, there must be 100 in glory at last. Not one will perish. None shall pluck them from my heart, my Father's hands. Oh, even so. What an even so this is. You see, this man who has this 100 sheep, and he's the Lord uses this illustration. Many shepherds in the day in which the Lord was ministering to His disciples, an illustration that they could well understand, how precious the sheep were to a man. He has 100. Why, he knows them all by name. He knows them all by sight. They're daily on his mind. He watches over them with that care. You see, they're precious, aren't they? We've just been singing of it. They're precious in his sight. And if so, you see, he seeketh that which is gone astray. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, rejoiceth more of that sheep. Oh, friends, what rejoicing there is when the Lord finds his sheep. When the Lord carries them back, when he carries them on his shoulder, when he brings them back into the fold, when he makes known himself to them. He's ever known them, but they've not known him. He's a stranger to them till he reveals himself as their friend. He looks upon them in all their wanderings, in all their backslidings. He looks upon them with that unchanging love. He doesn't love a sinner more as he openly professes his name. Them that honour me I will honour. Beloved friends, what a truth and blessing that is. But his love is unchanging. His love is unchanging. Can we fathom that love? Can you or I understand this love? Oh, what love is this that loves a sinner in spite of that sinner, despite what the sinner commits and what he does? He doesn't love the sinner's sins. He abhors our sin. It goes contrary to his law. Oh, friends, what it cost. What his people's sins cost him, but friends, his love to that sinner, unchanging, unwavering, unaltering. You know, our affections are up and down, aren't they? You know, when the Lord touches your heart, the Holy Spirit applies a word. Why, there's a going out after him. There's a longing after him. There's a lifting up of our affections, isn't there? And there's a rejoicing. And there's a flame that's kindled in our hearts. Our hearts burn within us. But how often, as we journey on, we think at the time that love and that flame will never die out. We think that that will always be the level we're at. Oh, but then, you see, we have to prove how deceitful and desperately wicked our own hearts are. And we have to prove that if the Lord had not chosen us first, we would never choose him. And we have to prove that no man can keep alive his own soul. We have to prove to our shame how fickle we are, and how distrustful we are, and how much unbelief we have, and what sins we're prone to, and how strong Satan's temptations are, and how weak we are. Oh, that we may see in our weakness the Lord appearing, giving us that strength. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's when we're weak, then we're strong. You see, friends, we can't push our thoughts heavenwards. Do you understand that? What I'm saying? We cannot put ourselves in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We cannot set our own affections on things above. You know, friends, on occasions, on a Saturday, I've the time and, you know, the family have left me to my meditations, and I have quietness, I have the Word of God in front of me. But to my shame, you know, I can't push my thoughts heavenward. The book, the Holy Word of God, it's a sealed book unless the Lord opens it to us. And those promises that we read and we've once had applied to us, why, they're just words without the Holy Spirit applying them. Oh, that the Lord would draw us unto him. You see, that makes those times special. That makes those times sweet, doesn't it not? You look back to those times when the Lord has touched your heart, has applied a word. You know, Satan will tell you, you've done it. Well, you try it. You go home and try it. Look back into the Word of God, a promise or a blessing that you were given, or a word that a minister had spoken to you, and through the Holy Spirit's working and power, it's been applied to your soul. You try and rekindle that feeling in your heart yourself. You tell Satan. You tell him. No, it's the power of God. Though we may not have much to testify in our poor profession, though we have not much, maybe, to speak of, oh, can you look back to a time where he has been precious? His name has been precious. What does the name of Jesus mean to you? When you read of him, when you sing of him, does your heart go out after him? Does your heart lift at the name of the Lord Jesus? Oh, is there anything that flickers in our cold hearts? You see, though the flame may seem to us have gone out, we're like that old-fashioned boiler. You know, that when they're raging, when they're burning, why, what heat comes forth, what evidence there is that there's life, that there's flame. But you know, when it's off, The old-fashioned boiler had a pilot light, didn't it? Well, what warmth came from that? Nothing. The boiler itself, it felt cold. It was cold. You'd say that was dead. There was nothing there. But you know, inside, if you look closely and examine closely, oh, to see that little pilot light. It might seem precarious. It may look like it would be blown out any moment. Oh, but the Lord keeps alive his own work in the hearts of his dear people. And though they seem at times to be so far off, yet they cannot be left to make shipwreck if they're his people. They must reach heaven at last. They can't fall back. They may slip back, but they can't fall out of love. They can't fall through his everlasting arms. They can't fall out of them. Oh, that the Lord would fan that flame and would blow upon our garden, would fan that flame that it may burn brightly, that our hearts may burn within us. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven. Beloved friends, do you have a hope that you have a Father in heaven? What a beautiful word this is. The Lord speaking, he doesn't say, my Father, does he? He doesn't say, my Father in heaven. He says, your Father. What a mercy. You see, it's the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, it's his Father. But he's saying it's your Father. Well, then what does that make his dear people? Does it make them worms of this earth? Does it make them servants? Does it make them outcasts? It's your Father. The Lord is setting you next to him. He's saying, your Father and my Father. He's saying, then, that you're a son or a daughter. Your elder brother, then, is the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Your Heavenly Father knoweth this morning that you have need of all these things. Oh, what a word that is. Your Heavenly Father. Oh, friends, what a great mercy if the Lord would apply that word to one another here. You see, I remember well being in a great providential trial. And it was all at the time when I'd spoken to the deacons. And what great trial I had laid on me providentially. And how could I go before the church, having spoken to the deacons of what the Lord had done for my soul, but what doubt came in? I've presumed I can't be one of his. During the time of seeking to speak to the deacons, and one of the deacons on the way out, having spoken to him, said, then that honour me I will honour. And then the next week, all this taking place. Oh, what a word that tried me, that did. Them that honour me, I will honour. Oh, and Satan comes in, doesn't he? He says, you can't be one of his. You see, he'll be honouring you. You're seeking to honour him in walking out your open profession. And it's a sign that you're not one of his. You better stop. You better halt. You've made a mistake. You can't be right. These are just coincidences. These are things you've plucked from the Word of God. You've nothing, and he's showing you you've nothing. Them that honour me, I will honour. Oh, beloved friends, and how tried we were, but yet the Lord speaking one Sunday evening, your Heavenly Father knoweth. That was enough. You know, the problem, the trial, did not go away at that knowledge, at that evening. To me, everything changed. but nothing changed. Do you know what I mean? All my doubts and fears went. The problem didn't go. It was still there on the Monday morning. But I had the blessed realization that he was my Heavenly Father. It was your Heavenly Father. And he knoweth. Beloved friends, he knows where you are this morning. And he knows where I am this morning. Oh, that he may prove to be our Heavenly Father. May he prove to be your Heavenly Father, despite what Satan's telling you, despite what you feel, despite the trials and temptations you're under. Oh, that he may come right where we are. He may stoop down. That man at the pool of Bethesda, he lay there, didn't he? He'd been lying there 38 years, I think. A long time. We read the Lord knew he was there. He knew how long he'd been there. And he came up to that man and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Oh, friends, have you had that spoken to you? Is that being spoken to you now? Wilt thou be made whole? You say, "Lord, I've been praying. I've been begging. I've been asking for my assurances, my confirmation. I've been pleading that I'd know my sins forgiven. All these years, and you ask, wilt thou be made whole, Lord?" That means I'm a stranger, does it not? Have you not heard my cries? Have you not seen my tears, Lord, all these past years? Then you say, wilt thou be made whole? Oh, friends, what these questions do, they bring out a stronger cry from his dear sheep. Yeah, they bring out a stronger desire. They strip out all of our own fancied meekness. They strip out all of our own professions. They strip out everything that's not founded on the rock Christ Jesus. It's that whittling away of everything. It's a stripping away of everything that comes short of Christ. And it's painful work. And it hurts. And it sends us sometimes away from the house of God, feeling cast down. And it wounds sometimes. As that woman who came, and the disciples rejected her, and the Lord seemingly rejected her. And yet she says, "Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. But the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Oh, there's that pressing forward. There's that reaching out. Oh, you see your unworthiness, your insufficiency. But, you know, friends, it's that pressing forward. It's that reaching out. And, friends, if you can't reach out, beloved friends, he is able. And he came right where that man was. He says, "Sir, I have no man. I have no man. When the waters are troubled, to put me in. Sir, I have no man." And you say this morning, "Sir, I have no hope in myself. I have no way of laying claim to thee, dear Lord. I have nothing to do. I can do nothing. I've such an aching void that the world cannot fill, but Lord, I can't lay hold. Sir, I have no man." He touched him. He reached out his hand. He spoke the word. He spoke the word. And it was an instant cure. The Lord didn't need to put him in the water. Speaking the word, setting him at liberty. And as Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," as he sank in the waves on the sea, the Lord reached out his hand. He's never too early, but he's never too late. His time is ever right. It may be the fourth watch of the night with you. You may be seeking the Lord will come to you. It may be a dark, dark hour. But you know, his glory shines brightest in the darkest hour. As he sets a sinner from the dunghill to set him among princes, as he propels him from the pit of corruption, the edge of it, to see his hope in heaven, in glory at last. Oh, from the darkness to the glorious light. It's at those darkest hours. It's when we think we're so far away. Oh, how near he is to his people. He's ever mindful of us. Though he may tarry his leisure, though he may wait his appointed time, though we want him quicker, though we want him to appear as we want him to appear, though we sometimes are led to pray, Lord, help enable this to happen, Lord, make this happen, Lord, appear in this way. We're like Naaman, we say, we don't want to wash in Jordan 7 times, we want something different. Oh, that the Lord would come in his way. Give us that patience to wait. Give us that faith to wait. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. What led the Lord to come to this earth? What mysterious but wonderful plan of salvation was made by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in eternity past. Having seen his people to be born into sin, to be born at enmity with them, oh, they must be brought back. Was heaven to be empty? Ah, friends, what mercy. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saw all the wretched life I was to live. Saw all the misspent youth, saw all the sins, those things that even close friend, family and friends don't know. He saw it all, but loved me notwithstanding all. And he spared not his only begotten Son. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, to come to this earth, to suffer, to bleed, and to die. And beloved friends, it wasn't just the laying down of his life. Unspeakable mercy and blessing that is. You see, he was to live into his 30s. Why? If it was just a laying down of his life in death, to be raised by the power of his Father and bring each of his dear people with him in that glorious resurrection, well, it could have been done as a babe. He could have perished and be taken in the cradle or in his early childhood. Well, why was it that he lived into his 30s? He laid his life down in his prime, the prime of life. But he had a work to do, beloved friends. He had a life to live. He had a righteousness to wrought out. He had this robe that every one of his dear people would need at that great day. They're viewed in that great day as holy and unblameable and unreprovable. They're not viewed as pardoned sinners. Do you understand? You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, he cleanses us from all sin. It washes away every sin. Our transgressions and our sins are remembered no more. They're cast into the uttermost parts of the sea. But the hymn writer says this, doesn't he? Unless the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found, he took the robe the Saviour wrought and cast it all around. What perfection! Nothing left out. No stone, if you like, unturned. No measure left to chance. Nothing shall separate those sinners from the love of Christ. They must be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable, as not just pardoned sinners, but friends, as having never sinned, And so, with their sins washed away in his precious blood, as they stand in that great day, that robe is put upon them. And it's his life is seen instead of ours. The life that we could never live has been lived for each of his dear people. And it's his life, but he imputes it on that sinner. Oh, friends, and you will stand, if you're one of his dear children, holy. You say my name? My name and the word holy, they don't go together. Beloved friends, what marvels, what mercy, what grace, what love, that he came and wrought this glorious robe and laid his life down, that spotless life, without one wrong thought and one wrong deed, made as his brethren, took up the form of a servant, a sin accepted, not a sin. But he lived upon this earth. He's able to succour you in your temptations. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be cast down. He knows what it is to have friends, family forsake him. Trouble in his home. Trouble in his life. He knows what affliction is. The bereavement, the loss of a dear friend, Lazarus. He knows what it is to mourn. He knows what it is to be weary. We read, and he, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. He knows every condition and every state of his dear people. And he's laid up in heaven a treasury of grace to meet their every need, in every trial that they will come into. He's put the trial there, but he's made a way. He's made a deliverance. He's made a way of escape in your temptations. He has made provision for you. There will not be one more trial for his dear people, and there will be a deliverance for them. He knoweth the way that I take. Though Job couldn't find him on the right hand or left hand, he had that blessed assurance, but he knoweth the way that I take. And these weary, these little lambs, these who feel they haven't got much, they can't claim much. Beloved friends, their standing is as sure as as one of the patriarchs in the Word of God. Their standing in heaven is as sure as their almighty friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is sitting at his Father's right hand on high. So will every one of them be found. At last they will be found right. What mercy. And we read that prayer. That prayer of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We read that beautiful prayer, praying to his Father for his disciples and for his dear people. And as we read through this struck me. This great mercy, I can't fathom this. And I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you understand anything of this? Even as thou hast and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. His beloved Son, and he loves his people as he loves his own dear Son. He spared not his only begotten Son, so that each wretched, ruined sinner in the fall, loved with that everlasting love, may be found in heaven at last. That love which passes all understanding, doesn't it? It passes all understanding. We cannot fathom it. But we read in in Romans, isn't it? Who shall separate us from the love of God? And we also read in John, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What manner of love is this, that we should be called the sons of God? Oh, you say, well, I don't feel like a son. You say, we sing hymn 103, and it says here, bold shall I stand in that great day. You say, I fear my day of my death. I tremble when I sing this, bold shall I stand at that great day. You say, I'm more like the other hymn. I'm more like 938. I can't say, bold shall I stand in that great day. I'm more, when thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Oh, left to ourselves. When we see the billows, when we look around at the troubles in our lives, the perplexities, the concerns, as we see that great day before us, how many of us tremble at that day? We may have a little hope, but you know, when Satan comes in, we tremble, don't we? Bold shall I stand at that great day. Oh, that it may be so, that we may be enabled by his grace to look that hideous monster in the face, that we may smile through death. May we see the Lord having gone on before us. As those priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant, they stepped into the River Jordan. Those waters, it was the time of flooding, and it had burst its banks, and the water was, oh, what? It wasn't at the lowest time. It wasn't in the drought season that the Lord will part the waters. It's overflowing. It's at flood season. The water's bursting its banks. And as they're approaching, the water's not moving. It's still there. It's as their feet touched the water, then parted the waters. And they walked across on dry land. And it is, friends, that the Lord may, as the waters, we're led to those waters of the day of our death. They're there. And for some of us, it's like an overflowing river. We want it to part now. We want that assurance. We want to see the dry land, don't we? But it won't come, friends. Not till we're there. Not till you touch your toe in it. Oh, but you see, we have a hope that the Lord has passed this way for us. He's walked through the Jordan for us. He's tasted death. We, his people, will not taste death. Oh, we will sleep in our Lord Jesus and like him rise to everlasting bliss. Even so, even these little ones, even these ones who are oppressed, even the little lambs. You see, the Lord is mindful of all his people. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He'll even carry those that need carrying, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. May the Lord bless his own word. Amen.